Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the final part of a three-part series looking at suicide spirits, hauntings that take place after a hanging. Obviously, just once again, want to warn you that some of the details you may hear in this episode could be distressing for you. If you'd like to see the other two videos in this series, just click on the link you can see on the screen right now. But tonight, we are going to explore a final case, which is really quite a frightening one. This is the case of the Grinning Man. It was June 1975 when the 22-year-old woman moved to London. We don't actually know her real name, but the paranormal researcher who shared her case and interviewed her directly was called Eddie Brazil, and he referred to her with the pseudonym Kay Bradshaw, so we might as well use the same name. Kay Bradshaw had moved from Buckinghamshire into the capital so she could start a new job. She would become a barmaid in Camberwell in London. And the pub was on Denmark Hill. And if you watched last week, you'll remember that Denmark Hill is the same place where the cinema happened, where the man committed suicide in the toilets and the woman had the encounter there. So it's very interesting to see how close by this is. So the pub where this happened is called the Fox on the Hill. And the pub is still there. It's now owned by the huge pub chain Wetherspoons. This establishment has a rather morbid history because part of the pub's garden used to be used as a plague pit. That's the term used to describe a mass grave for victims of the Black Death. This devastating plague swept through Europe, China, and the Middle East in the 14th century, and it killed a staggering 1 to 2/3 of the population of Europe. With all those bodies, normal individual burial rites were abandoned, and so the infected corpses were thrown together into just a huge hole in the ground. And so the pub garden at the Fox on the Hill is said to stand on one of these burial pits. Kay may well have known about this history or not, but she may not have cared either, because she was young, she was stepping out herself for the very first time, and she had not only gotten a job as a barmaid at this pub, but it came with food and accommodation. Now, to get that in London is really quite the win. And so Kay arrived at the pub and was shown to her lodging, and she would be sleeping in the attic bedroom. At first, things at the Fox were great, particularly as the summer of 76 came round. A time of wonderful sunshine and heat swept across the country, and it was very unusual. In fact, people still talk about that summer today. Kay made friends and she settled into her room, and nothing particularly unusual happened until June of 1976. Almost a year had passed since she had moved in, and so when Kay finished her shift at the pub, she didn't really expect anything unusual to happen. She climbed the stairs after work and she decided to relax by running herself a late night hot bath. Now, she didn't have her own bathroom. This was a shared facility with 10 other members of staff who lived in the building. And so she switched on the bathroom light, locked the door, ran the bath, got undressed, and slipped into the hot water so she might ease the ache of being on her feet in the bar for so many hours. Her relaxation did not last very long, however, because she snapped out of her restful mood when the bathroom was suddenly plunged into darkness. She looked around, baffled, as to why the light had suddenly gone off. She pushed herself out of the bath, and then, dripping onto the linoleum floor, she reached for the pull cord of the light and gave it a little tug. There was no light. Now, the 1970s in Britain were also known for power cuts, so she assumed that might be all it was, until she spotted a light was still streaming in under the door. So the power in the landing in the rest of the building was fine, so what the hell was going on in here? She pulled her dressing gown on, tied it, opened up the bathroom to lean out, and sure enough, the rest of the building had full power as normal. And so she turned back to look into the dark room, and that's when, with the light streaming in from the corridor from the landing, it fell across the bath and she could see something she hadn't spotted before on the floor. The light bulb. It was lying on the floor of the bath. Frowning, she went to pick it up and was shocked to discover that the bulb was still warm to the touch. She looked up and sure enough, the light fixture was empty. Now, it's not a surprise to know that a bulb retains heat after being removed from a fitting. That's very normal. The strange part is, if it fell out, why didn't it shatter on the lino floor? But also, some bulbs have a screw connector, like this one, for example, and they can potentially lose grip and fall out if they gradually unscrew by themselves over time. But in the UK, a lot of people use these bayonet fixings. There's these little prongs on either side, and it means that you push it up and in, and it doesn't naturally fall out. To get it out, you have to push it, turn it, and then it comes out. She picked up this bulb, she looked at it, and sure enough, it was a bayonet bulb. It was almost as if someone had removed the light and then placed it on the floor, but there was nobody else in the room. There was only one conclusion. The fitting obviously was faulty, even for a bayonet bulb to fall out. And who knows, maybe the lino was just softer than she imagined. So she shrugged it off and went to get dried. The days and weeks that followed this incident were uneventful until she had another encounter, one that was far more disturbing than the first. An event that would cause her to fear for her life. Maybe Kay had forgotten about the bulb incident now that a few weeks had passed. She certainly wasn't that scared because she's decided to have another hot bath after finishing her busy and tiring shift. She headed to the bathroom, but it happened when she pushed the door open. She reached for the hanging light cord, and when she did, when she touched the cord, it moved. Not just a little. It suddenly swung. It was like something had clipped it. But when it came back and swooped through the air, it whipped across her and went around her neck. So when Kay looked at the mirror, she could see that somehow it was coiled around her neck, around her throat. Horrified, she just dragged it off herself and dragged the loop free. And then she staggered into the landing in shock. She stood there in the hallway, just her heart racing, and she looked back at the cord. And it was still swinging, left and right. And on every swing, she had to deal with the thought that was slamming over and over in her head. That cord, she thought, had moved on purpose. Like something or someone had yanked it up and then around her throat. That was impossible, though. To prove it was, she took a deep breath and reached back into the bathroom, giving the cord a gentle tug between her fingers. She heard a click, and the light went off. She clicked it again, the light went on. There was no sense of movement. Other than what she was doing to the cord, it was completely normal. She was shaken enough, though, to take the cord and wrap it tightly around a towel rail nearby, so it was still usable for people, but she didn't want it to snap out on its own again. Now, Kay was genuinely shaken by this experience, enough to speak to other staff members who were living at the pub. Now, you might imagine their response. They chuckled about this. They told her that she was clearly overtired, she was working too hard in the bar, that she had just imagined it, basically. Rather than be offended, though, their jovial dismissal of this was actually quite reassuring to Kay, and she decided to put this down to just a fluke, one of those things. Once again, nothing else happened for a while after that. Until she finished another shift at the bar. This time she didn't opt for a bath. Instead, she decided to climb into bed early to rest. After reading, she turned off the light and fell asleep.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now, remember I mentioned that this was the summer of 1976 when it was incredibly hot in the UK. So Kay had her bedroom window wide open with the curtains drawn and all the way back as she slept. So when she suddenly and unexpectedly woke at 2:30 a.m, she saw that her room was softly lit by the street lamp outside. But that's not what woke her. It was a sound. It was a crackling coming from somewhere in the room. Confused, she sat up and listened, and she thought, no, that's unmistakable. And with bleary eyes, she looked around the room and followed the source of the sound, and it was coming from the bedroom door. Hanging on the back of that door was her jacket that she had just had dry cleaned, and it was hanging still wrapped in the polythene bag from the dry cleaners. And she squinted and realized that the crackling sound was coming from the polythene bag. It looked like someone touching it, like fingers were rippling and caressing the plastic. There was nobody there. The seriously hot weather meant that there was no breeze that could be causing this, and so Kay just stared at it, dumbfounded, until it finally stopped after about a minute. Now, as you might be already starting to tell, Kay was not the type to just fall apart at these things. She didn't leap straight to a supernatural explanation. She thought there must be a draft coming in through the door to the landing. That must be it. And so she decided to stop being silly and to settle down to sleep. But when she lay her head on the pillow and then turned to her side, every rational explanation vanished in a heart-stopping moment, because there was a figure made of pure darkness, and it was standing right next to the bed, right next to her. Kay's eyes bulged in terror at what she was seeing, because there was, right now and beyond doubt, a distinct, shadowy shape in the unmistakable form of a human being standing next to her. But it wasn't even just standing, because horrified, she quickly started to realize that this figure was starting to lean over, and she was pressing her head into the back of the pillow as this thing bent over her in a shocking and threatening way. And now that it was closing in on her, she started to see its face emerge, and she could make out dull details. She couldn't quite make out the eyes, as they seemed to be just more like kind of black holes, but she could see the mouth, which was starting to open horribly and wide, and in the darkness she said she could see ugly teeth which were in a hideous grin. There was nothing else for it. Kay let out an earth-shattering scream and just threw herself to the side, dropping out of bed and scrambling for the door where the polythene bag still lay hanging, and she flung the door wide and fled down the attic room steps. Across the hallway she was hammering on the door of one of her friend's bedrooms. It was 2:30 a.m. This frantic noise couldn't help but rouse the other people, and soon doorways were swinging in all of the corridors, and half-asleep colleagues were coming out squinting in the light and saying, "What the hell's going on?" And when they saw Kay, they snapped fully awake, because she was just absolutely distraught, and she was saying, "There's a man in my bedroom. A man has just tried to attack me in bed." On hearing this, two male staff members sprang into action. They rushed up the attic steps, They came back confused moments later. They said, "I'm sorry, there's nobody there." She shook her head. She says, "There's got to be. He is right by the bed." Unsure of what to do next, they called the police. They found nothing unusual in the room or in the rest of the building. There was no sign of forced entry. They couldn't figure out how anybody could have left without them seeing. Kay understandably refused to sleep in the attic room that night, so she coiled up on the sofa of her friend's room, totally shaken by the night's events. And as she lay there, trying to track down the impossible miracle of sleep, she just kept thinking about the polythene bag and the light cord around her neck and that light bulb falling onto the bathroom floor. And she just wondered, were these all connected? As she stared at the ceiling and she thought of what was up there in the attic room, she swore that she would never sleep in that room again. In the morning, she insisted that she be moved to another. All this drama started to be whispered about in the pub, and soon some of the customers were beginning to learn of Kay's frightening experience in the attic room, which led to a fascinating conversation one afternoon in the bar. Kay was working in the downstairs bar that afternoon, and an elderly man ordered a drink, but he seemed to linger with his pint. He wanted to talk to her. Kay set her bar towel to the side and took a seat with him. The old man said that he had heard the rumors about what Kay had saw, and she confirmed that, "Yes, I did see something." He took a moment and then he asked her if she'd ever heard about the man from China. Frowning, she said, "I haven't, no." The man said this, "Well, look, there was a man who committed suicide in this pub." She felt a shiver and asked him to carry on. The man said, "Well, it was back in the 1950s. The Fox pub had hired a man from the Far East, and just like Kay, he had lived in the pub while he worked here. Only he had lived here with his wife. He said that the man had serious gambling issues and would stay out until the early hours playing and losing at cards. His gambling addiction had led to blazing rows between the couple until it got too much for her and she left him. No matter how much he pleaded and said he was going to change, she never came back. This threw the man into a deep state of depression. His gambling grew worse along with alcohol abuse. And this combination of it all just gathered together to create a storm of despair in his life. Until one day, the staff downstairs were confused to see him not turn up for work. Someone went up to check on him, knocked on his door, and when they headed inside, they screamed. This troubled man was hanging from a beam just by the bedroom door, with his leather belt wrapped tightly around his throat as a noose. And of course she knew, as well as anybody could know anything in the world, but she still asked the question, "Which room did this happen in?" He looked at her, took a sip and said, "The attic room." Despite this distressing experience, Kay kept on working at the Fox on the Hill until May of 1977, which is when she moved to work in a pub in the West End of London. And as far as records show, nobody else has experienced anything similar in that attic room, though it's not like everybody reports strange experiences, so if you know about any of that, please get in touch and let me know. Eddie Brazil does add this footnote to his account, however, that is both creepy and intriguing. Apparently there was a time, this was before Kay arrived, when the attic room was occupied by a couple from New Zealand. Now they had travelled to China once and had bought a metal birdcage in a market in Hong Kong. And they were so taken with it that they made the effort to bring it all the way from China to England with them, and they'd set it up in the attic room with them. We don't know why they decided to abandon it, but when they eventually did move from the Fox, they did not take the item with them. Despite them making all of that effort to fetch it from China to England, they didn't even try to sell it from the looks of it, they just left it. This birdcage eventually ended up in one of the other rooms, and it was the room that Kay got moved into when she wanted to move out of the attic room. She moved into this new room and found a 3-foot birdcage shaped like a Chinese pagoda. Now, this was 1977, right? A few weeks before she was set to leave the Fox and move to the West End. And one night, she woke up in this new room and found the room filled with a dull blue glow. It wasn't from a police car outside, like she originally thought. Instead, she looked at this birdcage and saw a light pulsing over the cage. And then, to her surprise, this pulsing light started to move from over the cage across the room. You can imagine it. You know, she was seeing the glow from it moving softly across the ceilings and the walls. And then this light gradually died away. By the way, seeing glowing lights like this is not unheard of in paranormal cases. In fact, I recommend you check out a previous Frightful where a man sees a frightening light glowing in his room after a visit to a psychic medium, and the light gradually starts to turn into that of a frightening elderly woman. But anyway, Kay leapt out of her bed to check the birdcage. She couldn't figure out what had caused this glow. She was also shocked when she touched the cage because it was intensely cold to her fingers. Spooked by it, she took a piece of clothing, wrapped it around the cage, you know, with her hand, and she went straight into the corridor and put it on the landing, basically, where she placed it outside her room, closed the door. She didn't fancy sleeping with that thing nearby. Someone else could have it in the building. The next morning, she woke up. The cage had already gone. And Kay was pleased to see that it had found a new home. But when she asked the staff members, who took the cage? Who's got it now? They just looked at her confused. Nobody knew what she was talking about. And the cage was never seen again. Kay left the pub soon after for her new job. Well, what do you think? Are the two incidents linked in some way, even though it happened in two different rooms? And what of the connection between the Chinese birdcage and the story of the man from China who hung himself? How does it tie together? Does it tie together? Let me know, get in touch, and share your thoughts via social media. And even better, let me put the word out to anybody who has ever stayed over or lived in the attic room of the Fox on the Hill pub. Have you ever experienced anything unusual in that room? Does any of this resonate? If it does, comment and get in touch. Because what if that troubled man really did leave an echo, a suicide spirit? What if he's reaching out to someone else one of these nights? Thank you for listening to another episode of Frightful. Do subscribe here or check out the other episode that I mentioned where a man saw a glowing light in his room because after that he ends up crawling in the garden on all fours eating grass. It's a crazy case. But until next time, check out patreon.com/PeterLaws to keep in touch and get extra stuff. And don't forget to keep an eye on the shadows because after all, they might just have their eyes on you. Good night.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.